And so it's clear in this story that that God wants us to share the gospel.
Yes.
Jesus showed himself to the disciples, and then he gave them one command. And that command was, go and share the gospel.
Yes.
And then after that, he went into heaven. And then, even though the disciples messed up a lot of stuff, they managed to get this one right.
Yes.
They went out and they shared the gospel everywhere. They went to all nations. It's why we're sitting here today, right? So I'm kind of an interactive person. I like to do polls. It's one of my favorite things. So let's do a little poll here today. How many extroverts do we have in the room today? Raise your hands. You guys should be easy, right? Oh, that's a lot of extroverts.
I'm proud to say it.
I probably should say how many introverts don't raise your hand, but I'm going to ask you to take a step out. And if you're an introvert, raise your hand.
Yeah.
All right. My people. Those are my people right there. I'm a card-carrying introvert. Yes, I have a card. I come from a family of introverts. My family goes on vacations, and we go to the bookstore and buy books that we then take back to our hotel and read. That's what my family does on vacation. My family turns puzzles upside down so you can't see the pictures and puts them together. That's what my family does. And I am a part of it. That's where I live too. I'm uncomfortable up here. I'm uncomfortable with dealing with people. But that does not give me an excuse not to share the gospel.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's good. And I feel that as I've been at this church, I've grown in that area, right? And I've always struggled with sharing my faith. And I've always knew that God wanted me to share my faith, but I've always struggled with it. Sometimes I'm really jealous of Pastor Matt, like, because I don't know if you've spent a lot of time with him, but he'll walk into a store and he'll just start talking to people about socks, and then all of a sudden he's inviting them to church, and then all of a sudden they get saved, and then all of a sudden, and this is still in the sock store, right? We haven't even gotten to church yet. I'm just like, how did this happen? Like, we were just here to get some socks. But I don't possess that, right? God didn't give me that. He has the gift of gab. But it doesn't matter, because God has still called me to share the gospel. And even if I sound like a robot, and even if it's awkward, and even if it's weird, I'm still supposed to share the gospel. In 1 Corinthians 1:17, it says, for Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom, and eloquence, lest the cross be emptied of its power. So that's pretty much me. Not with wisdom and eloquence. Given a few weeks, I can plan and prepare for anything. I can even do this sermon and probably, hopefully, have it sound halfway decent. But put on the spot, I am a mess. Right? I freeze up. That's my natural tendency. I freeze up. I don't know the words. I probably can't tell you Bible studies. I definitely can't quote a verse in Scripture, even though I know it. I don't know the Greek. Sometimes I have trouble saying my own name. But I sway from side to side, and I have a lot of ums. But it doesn't matter. I'm still supposed to share the gospel with the people that I know. And that's because of the power of what happened on the cross and the power of Jesus' sacrifice. In Romans 1:16 it says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes, first the Jew, then the Gentile. And for me, and for years of my life, it's not that I struggle with the gospel message, and it's not that I'm ashamed of the gospel message. It's I'm ashamed of how it comes out of my own mouth. And I don't trust my own self sharing the gospel message. But what I've come to realize is it's not about me, right? It's about the gospel message. And if you haven't caught the theme yet, I'm going to continue to hammer that all night. But my fear of rejection will get in the way of what I am doing. It will get in the way of what God has commanded me to do. It says that the power of God is what brings salvation. Yes. It never mentions me. It doesn't say the power of Todd, right? It doesn't say that. Even though it rhymes and it's pretty catchy. It says the power of God. And so I have to get over myself, right? I have to get over the fact that it's hard for me to do. I have to get over the fact that it's uncomfortable. I have to share the gospel. In Matthew 9:37 through 38, it says, "Then he said to the disciples, 'The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out the workers into the harvest field.'" Did you know that the population of Auburn is 80,000 people? So Pastor Matt and I did a little rough math the other day. We figured that about 4,000 people attend church on any given Sunday. That's about 5% of the population right here in Auburn. Right. And if you figure that that probably half those churches are filled with really elderly people. Right. And half those churches are probably dying because it's just a generational thing from the past. That puts us in one of the greatest mission fields in America. Right. We are one of the most unchurched states in America, and we live in one of the most unchurched counties of the most unchurched states in America. When I talk to my family about describing what it's like at Faith Victory Church, I describe it as a missional church, right? We are right in the middle of unbelievers and people that don't know Jesus. People walk through that door. It's always amazing to me because I grew up in the heartland, right? And even if you didn't believe in Jesus and even if you didn't know Jesus, you knew the stories of the Bible and you knew what Jesus stood for. But there are people that walk through that door every Sunday that have no idea what the stories of Jesus are. They have no idea. And that's what it's like to be where we are. And that's what it's like to be the missional church that we are. And so that is our job. That's why we have to share the gospel. So we aren't even scratching the surface of the amount of people that need to be saved here. We don't have to go to a foreign country. We don't have to go to Pakistan. Right? We can do it right here. And so I'm not going to just talk to you about, I'm not just going to convict you about sharing the gospel today, right? My job at the church is to have a plan for everything that I do because I run all the background stuff. And so I'm going to have a plan for you today. The number one thing is you need to share the gospel and you need to use words. This phrase goes around a lot in Christian circles. It says, preach the gospel at all times, but use words if necessary. Yeah. Right? I don't like that particular saying. It's credited to be said by Saint Francis of Assisi, right? But I have a few problems with it. Number one, it wasn't in the Bible, right? And we get our inspiration from the Bible. And the Bible clearly says that we're supposed to preach the gospel. And I don't know how, when it says preach, I take it for what it says. It literally means preach. Also, I did some research on St. Francis. And more accurately translated, that phrase means, it is no use walking anywhere to preach unless our walking is our preaching. And see, there's a really key subtle difference there, right? One is saying, I live a good life, and then if people ask me, I tell them about it, right? The other one is saying, your gospel message doesn't have any power because you are not living out what you say your gospel message is, right? Now, that's a message I can get behind. So good job, St. Francis, but horrible job on us that we've converted it into an excuse for not actually speaking words to share the gospel. As the card-carrying introvert in the room, I can't give myself excuses not to use words to share the gospel, and I won't give you any either. So sometimes God calls you to share your testimony to specific people or in specific places. You and God will have to deal with that as it comes up. What I'm going to talk about today are some other easier ways that you might not have thought about sharing the gospel. So my first easier way is share the gospel by inviting people to church. Acts 2:44 through 47 says, All the believers were gathered together and have everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give everyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Right? What are we doing at church if we're not saving people? Right? What are we doing at church if we're not emptying hell? And the greatest thing for me about inviting people to church is the pressure is totally off me, right? All I have to do is get the invite out. All I have to do is invite them to church, and they're going to walk through the door. There's going to be all kinds of greeters and people at the door that are going to love on them, right? And then they're going to get in the room, and then the worship is going to be awesome. And then they're going to listen to a convicting message. And if you haven't picked up on this yet, at the very end, we're going to call people forward if they want to receive Christ into their hearts. There's a gospel message preached almost every sermon that happens at this church. It's not by accident. We do that because we want people to be saved. So, and the same things that like drew you into this church are going to draw them into this church, right? Because this church hasn't changed since the time that I've been here. I wasn't here on day one. And so the culture was already established and already set by the time I got here, right? And so people loved on me when I came through the front door. Rich and Cheryl Beck, who were the worship leaders before me, they took me out to dinner the very first Sunday and paid for it but when I first visited the church. And then week two, I was playing on the worship team. If you're a drummer and they don't have a drummer, then you can get away with that. But the point is that they incorporated me into the church family, just like we incorporate people into the church family right now. We really strive to incorporate people into church family. And so I'm telling you, if you invite your friends and your family to church, we will do our very best to include them into this family, the Faith and Victory Church family. We need to use words as we pray for people. 1 Timothy 2, 1 through 6 says, "First of all, then, I urge supplications, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgiving be made for all people, for kings and who are in high positions that may lead a peaceful and quiet life, godly and dignified in every way. This is good and pleasing to the sight of God our Savior, who desires all people to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God, and there is one mediator between God and man, and that the man Jesus Christ Jesus." How many times have we been, I'll just say, how many times have I been sitting around with my friends, and I'm just sitting there having a conversation with them, and then they dive into issues and problems in their life. And those issues and problems are problems that I cannot solve, right? I don't have the answers for the issues and problems in their life. How many times do I sit there and how many times do I say, "Oh man, that's tough, man. I don't know what to do," right? It's such a cop-out, right? We serve the God Almighty who created the heavens and the earth and put me here, right? And we have communication with him. It's called prayer. And so I'm totally letting a missed opportunity pass. So my challenge for you is today is as people come to you, as people tell them their problems, begin to pray with them. If they don't get anything else from the process, at least you've opened up a pipeline to God. At least you showed them what it's like to pray to God. And it doesn't have to be long. It can be a simple prayer, something to the effect of, "Dear Lord, I pray for so-and-so who's going through such and such. And I know that you are an all-powerful God. So I pray that you heal this situation and also everyone that's involved." Yeah. The end, amen. Right? Yeah. It's a 10-second prayer. I find that most non-believers don't want you to sit there and pray for them forever anyway. No. They prefer the short prayer. They don't want you to go on forever. But the point of the whole thing is that you've planted a seed. You've walked them through the process. And you don't know when this fruit is going to harvest itself, right? because we've planted seeds in many people's lives that have only come to fruit years later, right? But they hearken back to those moments when people in their lives, when Christians in their lives prayed for them. And then in their moment, when they're ready and they come to church, then that lives out. And then they're able to walk forward. All because, and you won't ever realize this until you get to heaven, but all because you planted a seed earlier. All because you prayed for them earlier. You have made God real in their lives by praying for them and because you shared the gospel. So, now's my favorite one. Share the gospel with the world. So Matthew 24:14 says, "And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations, and then the end will come." Psalms 96:3 says, "Declare his glory among the nations, his wonders among all peoples." There are close to 8 billion people in this world. Yeah. Roughly 2.2 billion, or 23% of those 8 billion people, are Christians, according to Google. I would say probably significantly less than that, because I'm guessing Google doesn't use a very strict measuring of what it is to be a Christian. And we all know that the world is now dangerously in peril for considering what Christians are. But even if it's only that, it's still only 23%. That leaves, even if we're counting all those people, that still leaves 5.8 billion people that still need Jesus, right? That's so many people. What would be the easiest way to reach these people? What would be the easiest way to declare God's glory? What if I told you? You could do it right now. Right here, while listening to me preach. So let's do another little survey. Raise your hand if you have any type of social media of any kind. All right, now everybody needs to look around the room. Right, keep your hands raised. Everybody needs to look around the room. It's pretty much everybody, except for James and Sylvia O'Neill. But they get a pass because they invite everyone they know for McDonald's. So if you want to do that, then I'll let you off the hook. But other than that, you have to listen. All right, so let's go to the next one. How many of you, raise your hands, have a smartphone on you right now? Right, look around the room. Exactly. So you all have social media, and most of you have a phone that can have social media on it. So 40% of the world's population uses social media. That's the world. That's third world countries and everything. One of the things that Deacon Mark and I went to Pakistan at the beginning of December, end of November. One of the things that like truly amazed me was how many of the people over there had social media and how many people had phones over there, especially the young kids. They're right next to China. So what happens is the Chinese are flooding the Pakistan market with all their old phones and refurbished phones. They all had them. They all had social media. They were all on it. And it's just such a powerful tool. So 77% of the United States population has some kind of social media account, right? That's 77%. That's a huge number. The church's Facebook page, we reach about 10,000 people per month. The church's Twitter account reaches about 2 million people per month. That's not even counting anything that Pastor Matt or Pastor Crystal or any of the pastors of the church post. Right? That's just counting the church page itself. This church, Faith and Victory Church, is constantly declaring the glory of the Lord online and on social media. And so I catch a lot of flack because I'm kind of the social media guy. And I get it. And there's evil on social media. It's absolutely true. But social media itself is not evil, right? It's like money. It's a tool. Right? And you can use the tool for evil, or you can use the tool for good. And so, And you can absolutely get sucked into drama. You can absolutely get sucked into, you can absolutely let it drag you down. But here's the thing though, when I read my Bible, it says I'm supposed to be the light of the world, yes. Right? I'm not supposed to be affected by everything that's happening out there. I'm supposed to shine the light for everyone else, right? Does everybody remember the song, the children's song? This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. Yeah. You guys remember. You guys were in Sunday school. No, it's good. That's what we're supposed to do. So there's no easier way to share the gospel than using social media in today's world. To use the tool that is provided for us to share the gospel. So, how do we do that? Share the gospel by sharing the sermon. Right? Do you know that the average cost of a Super Bowl commercial is $5 million? That's the average cost. And that lasts about 10 to 12 seconds, depending on how much you pay for it. Do you know the average cost of sharing Pastor Crystal's Super Bowl sermon is? $0. That's absolutely free. That's a $5 million savings. That's pretty good. You laugh, but you've all seen all those videos go viral, all those YouTube videos go viral. Why can't it be our sermons? Right? Right? Why can't it be us? What would happen? We have about 500 people that attend this church on a Sunday on average, right? What would happen? And almost every one of you, we've already done the poll. Almost every one of you have social media and almost every one of you have a phone. What would happen if we shared the sermon 500 times on Sunday? I've been doing social media for about 6 or 7 years now. The most shares we've ever got on any sermon is somewhere in the 30s. Right? But what would happen if we shared it 500 times? What would it look like then? Where would our reach be at that point? Right? So we stream every service, right? We stream it to YouTube, we stream it to Facebook, and we stream it to Twitter. Now, I personally feel, not counting tonight, that we have some of the most amazing pastors and the most amazing preachers that this world has to offer. Yes. Right? I feel that. And that has been my thought. That's one of the reasons why I stayed here at Faith Victory Church, because I was convicted by the preaching. And I went to all the other churches and they didn't convict me like I got convicted here. Right? We have the type of preaching and teaching that connects with people, even when they don't believe in God. There's non-believers that sit in this church on Sunday and they listen to the sermons and they get things that they apply to their life, even when they don't believe in Jesus. It happens all the time. Right? That's the type of preaching and teaching that we're sitting under. We're truly blessed that way. Right? We have the type of preaching and teaching that makes us want to know more about God. We don't sugarcoat it. It's straight from the Bible and it convicts us. And even in this crazy backwards culture that we're living in, people see the truth. Yes. They see the truth. That's the power of the gospel. It's people see the truth. They see through everything else and they say, I don't know what's going on there. I can't put my finger on it, but I sense that it's the truth and I sense that God is there. Yes. So, I'm just getting to the best part right now. For us introverts, anyway, sharing the gospel using social media is one of the physically easiest things you will ever do. It's literally two clicks with your finger on your phone. You hit the button to share, and then you hit share now. That's it. The only thing to make it public. So, but even if you don't make it public, I like to keep things public because I like the idea that it can go to the whole world and that anyone can see it. But even if you just share it to your friends can be affected by the gospel message. But we struggle with it, don't we? I know we struggle at it because we have 500 people in here and we only get 36 shares at the most, right? Sometimes it's only five, right? We struggle with it because we know what's going to happen if we share that sermon. We know that our friends are going to look at it and they're going to see it and they might comment on it. They might think something differently of us, right? We struggle because it puts us out there. It emotionally puts us out there. We are now standing for something. We're standing for God. And that's a big step. And I'm not saying it's not a small step, and I'm not saying it's not easy. I'm saying it's physically easy to do, but I'm not saying it's not easy emotionally or spiritually to do. It's for sure taking a step. We also struggle, and this is my own personal struggle, is I'd just rather not interact with the world. My people. Given my own personal choice, I'd rather be in my cave with my internet connection and my wife. interacting with people is hard. And people will interact with you. But people also engage with it. And people also come to know Christ because of it.
Yes.
So I don't like to just say things. I like to have some examples. So on Sunday, Pastor Jay was preaching. And I asked Brian Strong if I could do this. So you want to put the slide up, Brian? So Brian Strong took a picture of Pastor Jay preaching. I don't think he said anything. He didn't even say anything. He just put that picture of Pastor Jay preaching up there, right? So then if you look down on the left-hand side, lady there, she said, "I want to hear the message," right? And so they expanded views over there to the right. And so I shared the message with the lady. Now, I don't know this lady. I don't know if she knows Jesus. Maybe she does, maybe she doesn't. But this type of stuff happens every week, right? There are people that watch the live stream for weeks before they come to church. I know this because I hit all the visitors at the door and I ask them how they found out about this church. And a lot of them will have the discussion of, well, we found you online, or somebody's friend found you on Facebook, or I saw this picture of this person at church, or I saw they checked in, or I saw they did this, or I saw the sermon and I got hooked. Right? And I had to come down here and see what was going on at this church. And that happens all the time. And so, because Brian Strong was faithful and posted that picture, this young lady now gets to hear the message of God, right? And by the way, at the end of that message, Pastor Jay gave an opportunity for people to come forth and to receive the gospel, right? So if she wasn't saved, she would have an opportunity at home to give her life to Christ, right? And so don't underestimate the value of that, right? And as the introvert, I find it easier to do that than to go up and talk to people. And so if you're working your way up the ladder, taking you off the hook for talking to people, but I'm saying if you got to start somewhere and you need a foothold to get started, then start there, right? Just share the sermon and see what happens. It might get a little crazy. People might, comment on it. But that's okay. You don't have to give the whole explanation of Genesis, and you don't have to give like how many people were on the ark. You don't have to, or how many animals were on the ark. You don't have to explain it all. All you have to do is tell people, look, God has changed my life. Right? And that's why I go to this church, and that's why you should come to this church, is because God has changed my life. So hopefully, as you've been listening to me preach, you're convicted about sharing the gospel. If you're an extrovert, hopefully I've given you some tips to do some more things. If you're an introvert, maybe I've given you a few ways to get your feet wet. I want to leave you with while sharing the gospel is something God commanded us to do, and while like I said before, it's not always, God has commanded us to do it, and it's always going to be hard, and you may get pushback. But in 1 Peter 3:15 it says, But in your hearts, honor Christ the Lord as holy, always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks for the reason their hope that is in you. Yet do this with gentleness and respect. Amen. And so I implore you, please do this with gentleness and respect. Don't bite back at the people on social media. Don't bite back at the people that you talk to in person, right? They are not saved and we are. So we are called to a higher standard. And so you need to be nice to those people, even if they are not nice to you. That's what Jesus meant when he said, turn the other cheek, right? That's the entire meaning of that lesson. And again, you should know why Jesus changed your life. And you should be able to share that. And if you don't know that and you can't articulate it, then find me after this service and I will get together with you and I'll help you lay that out, right? And I'll help you come up with words to say, because we all should be prepared with a defense for the reason why we follow Jesus. That's part of what God has commanded us to do. So I would be remiss if I didn't give this opportunity to invite people to come forward to receive Jesus, right? Because they can't preach a sermon about sharing the gospel if I don't at least share the gospel myself. So the gospel goes like this. God created the heavens and the earth. And in the beginning, there was Adam and Eve. And they made a horrible, horrible choice. They chose to deny God. And because of that choice, that sin has been passed down to the rest of us. Yeah. Right? And because of that, we need a Savior. Yeah. God gave us that Savior. His name was Jesus Christ. Yeah. And he went to the cross and he died for us. And he hung on that cross for us. And because Jesus hung on that cross for us, we are allowed to have then relationship with God. And we are allowed to have the Holy Spirit come down and be with us. And so if you are here today and you do not know Jesus Christ as your Savior, if you do not have a relationship with him, if you are still living in your sin, if you are still living apart from God, then I implore you to raise your hand right now. Looks like everybody's good. On Wednesdays, it's a little easier. All right, for the rest of us, I just want to leave you with this. I just challenge you to be more bold about sharing the gospel. I challenge you to get out there this week. I challenge you to share the sermon on Sunday during church. And I'm hoping to see a big number. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.